Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Senator Christian Phillips Hill, thank you so much for being here today, Senator.
Thank you, Dawn. It's great to be able to join you and your listeners today to talk about an issue that really shouldn't be partisan. It's just plain old common sense. And
yes,
we're talking about protecting taxpayer dollars and making sure our government is accountable.
Yeah, and so what does this involve and why do you have to reintroduce it?
Yeah, so a few years ago, then Attorney General Josh Shapiro, he stood with legislators, myself included, on a package of bills to fight fraud. And he said that we could be losing up to $3 billion a year to fraud and improper payments in Medicaid alone. So back then, we introduced a bill similar to the one that we're talking about today, but it didn't get across the finish line. And it's time that we change that. So we think that if it was a good idea in 2020, it's an even better idea in 2025.
And so a piece of this is, you know, as far as the fraud goes and with Medicaid, is with encouraging or enabling or empowering, maybe is the best word, for whistleblowers?
Yeah. So, you know, why does this bill matter? It matters because fraud is costing Pennsylvanians billions of dollars. Right now, I'm in Harrisburg. We're working on our state budget. We have a deficit that we've got to figure out how to fill. Now, the federal government estimates that up to 10% of all Medicaid spending is lost to fraud and improper payments. That's where that number that the then Attorney General spoke to, that means out of Pennsylvania's $31 billion Medicaid budget, we could be losing $3 billion annually to fraud. Listen, that's money that should be going towards schools, roads, healthcare, tax relief. But instead, it's being siphoned away by fraudsters. So the Commonwealth Fraud Protection Act, it's going to allow us to recover those funds, and it's going to allow us to hold the bad actors accountable. And here's a really interesting thing to note. It'll bring Pennsylvania in line with other states, right? 31 other states already have a state-level False Claims Act. So last year, the federal False Claims Act recovered $2.9 billion, and Pennsylvania was limited in what we could recover because we don't have our own state law. So states that do have their own laws, they get to recover millions more in settlements. So when Universal Health Services was caught defrauding Medicaid, Pennsylvania got back $900,000. But California and New York each got over $1 million. Why? Because they had their own laws in place. And so an important component, as you noted, is protecting whistleblowers and taxpayers. So the bill will make it easier for whistleblowers, those people inside companies or government agencies, giving them the ability to report fraud without fear of retaliation. So I don't know if you remember this, but we had an Insight Global scandal. Do you remember back to COVID-19?
Sure.
The Department of Health said, hey, we're going to hire this company,
yes. And
we're going to have them do contact tracing. Now, I will tell you, I represent a very conservative district, and most of the people that were contact traced in my district said, no, thank you, we're not responding. But for the 72,000 Pennsylvanians who did respond, this company mishandled the personal medical data during the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, it was litigated. The company paid $2.7 million in a settlement, but Pennsylvania didn't get back nearly as much as we could have under a state False Claims Act. Right? This is money that we're going to use to make victims whole. So this bill ensures that when that fraud happens, Pennsylvania can investigate it, they can prosecute it, and they can recover those funds that ultimately truly belong to the hardworking taxpayers of this Commonwealth.
And so, you know, that's one. How does this look as far as the forecast? Do you think this will go through?
Well, look, I think fraud doesn't care about partisan affiliation.
Yeah, right? That's
fraud,
right.
It's not a Republican or a Democratic issue. It's just wrong. And when Pennsylvania taxpayers are losing billions, not hundreds, not millions, but billions of dollars to fraud, I think we should be able to come to some sort of an agreement that we need to do something about it. And as I said, back in 2020, when Governor Shapiro was Attorney General, he stood next to me and Representative Seth Grove and several other legislators and said, hey, I want to help you push for a package of fraud prevention bills, including a state False Claims Act. Again, noted that at that time, $3 billion a year was lost to fraud in just one program. Now, unfortunately, the bill didn't pass, but, you know, Governor Shapiro was supportive of this measure then. Mm-hmm. I think he should be supportive of this measure now, because Pennsylvania is still losing billions of dollars to fraud. And I think it's time that we do something about that. So we're calling on him to support this again, just like he did in 2020, mm-hmm. so we can all finally work together to put a stop to fraud and waste in our state government.
You know, one of the ways that Governor Shapiro has proposed of, you know, bringing in new revenue is through recreational marijuana. And I know these, you know, budget meetings and hearings are underway this week. How do you see that as far as legalizing recreational marijuana? The governor thinks it's $1.2 billion that it would rake in, I believe, and we have federal funds being cut. And so do you see that as a viable alternative?
I think that it is not reasonable, nor do I think it's realistic. So right now, we don't have a recreational marijuana program in place. Mm-hmm. So how does that happen? Well, we'd have to pass a bill and set up a program and do all this kind of stuff. There is no way that this Commonwealth is going to be able to get something up and running in 1 year. Yeah. To be able to fund the massive growth in spending that this governor envisions. He wants a 7.5% increase in spending. Now, here's what's even more concerning, is that not only does he book revenue from a program that doesn't even exist, he's actually doubled the projected revenue anticipated from such a program from last year's budget to this year's budget. You know, look, we need reasonable and realistic budgeting. We need to protect the hardworking taxpayers that fund our budget. I can tell you, I sat and listened to his over 90-minute budget address. And as I sat there, all I could think about were the hardworking people back home in my district in southern New York County. What were they doing? You know what they were doing? They're sitting around their kitchen tables. They're trying to figure out what they can cut, how they can make ends meet. They're making plans for how they're going to address their budgeting. And those kinds of difficult decisions need to be made here in Harrisburg because, again, we do not have a printing press to just print unlimited dollars like our counterparts in Washington, yeah. D.C. The people back home in my district, and I would venture to guess right there in Philadelphia, they have to live within their means. So should our state government.
And so with this, I mean, Shapiro's, what is it, $51.4 billion? It's a huge budget, the biggest we've ever seen or heard of before. Let me ask you something. Does it change the culture of things when all over the news you have, you know, Elon Musk, Doge, everybody's looking and kind of gawking at all the numbers that they're producing, saying this many, you know, billions or trillions of dollars of waste? Does that have a trickle-down effect?
Oh, listen, absolutely. And I will tell you that what we're doing on the Commonwealth Fraud Prevention Act is really part of a broader effort to make our government more responsive, right? We're seeing those bits and pieces of information coming down to us from the federal government, right? People who are listed on Social Security who are as old as our nation. Come on. So I also have legislation that would create a Department of Government Efficiency at the state level. And what I've envisioned is a 5-year program with the goal of finding ways to make government more efficient, more effective, and reflective of the hardworking taxpayers who are paying our bills. The scariest phrase in Harrisburg is, well, you know, we've always done it that way. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if the Eagles never changed their game plan from their 2022 Super Bowl loss to this year?
Been there,
they
done
would not
that.
Have won the Super Bowl,
yes,
right? But
exactly.
What did they do? They said, let's go. They adapted, they made changes to their roster, they put in a ton of hard work to bring that Lombardi Trophy back to Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
Why can't government adapt and reform? And to your listeners, we are absolutely having to compete as a state. We are competing. We are competing for our taxpayers. We are competing against other states. We are competing against other nations. Our state's GDP surpasses most countries. So we need to look at things that may have made sense a century ago, that today they no longer have a purpose that serves the public. Fun fact, Pennsylvania has over 153,000 regulations on our books. And I'm sure that a few of them can go. I have this, I call it my shopping rule. If I buy a new shirt, I've got to get rid of two shirts from my closet.
Man,
now, it better be a really good shirt to replace those two others. But let's look at regulations the same way. This would make sure that for every one regulation added, two need to go. And people say, oh, well, that's, you know, that's only what the president's doing. We have seen liberal governments in states try this approach. And guess what? It works. We've seen conservative government entities. They've tried this approach, and it works. It's not right versus left. It's not us versus them. It's going to take all of us to clean it up. And you and I both know spring is right around the corner,
yes.
And this could be the Harrisburg spring cleaning that we all really, really need. The focus on all levels of government to right size, to root out waste, fraud, and abuse, to find efficiencies, these are things that we must do. And I will say, if you're interested, check us out on X at Penn Doge.
I love it. Penn Doge. We like the ring of it. Senator Kristen Phillips Hill, just asking you, though, as far as Doge at the administrative level within the Trump administration, it's the executive branch. Yours is different because it would be the legislative branch. Is that correct? That it would not be the governor's office?
Absolutely. It would be an independent entity that would really go through and look at everything. And in order to get rid of things, you need the actions of the executive and the actions of the General Assembly. And, you know, I was in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago to witness the signing of the executive order to get men out of women's sports. And I had an interesting conversation with some women who are members of Congress. And we both said, executive orders are great, but you need to permanently codify these changes because, you know, presidents aren't presidents forever, governors aren't governors forever, legislators aren't legislators forever. But I'll tell you what, the people of this Commonwealth and this country, they need to permanently have these reforms put into the law books.
Well, we thank you so much. Hope you come back, State Senator Kristen Phillips Hill. I know it's a very busy week for you. Really appreciate your energy and everything you're doing.
Oh, it's a pleasure, and thanks. I'll look forward to coming back and talking with you soon.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.